And I did a few sessions and I wanted to shoot myself in the head.
All right. This is going to be a good one. All right. Thanks for joining us in this podcast. I have a very, very special guest. Her name is Soph Sheesh. I had to get that right. And she is she's an author. She's an entrepreneur, a business coach. And she is a psychologist by trade and a plethora of other things. But she has an amazing story. One of the things that how I found her is on a article where she lost 200 pounds playing pickleball. And we're going to definitely get into that. So this is definitely an inspiring story. And I like to hear stories like this and meet people that are really amazing. So, Soph, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you. What a good introduction.
Well, I try my best. And so really quickly, so you're from Arizona?
No, originally I'm from Paris.
Okay, originally from Paris. Okay. Yeah.
And then I lived in California for 30 years. Uh-huh. And then I moved to Arizona, where I had never heard of pickleball at all, like 2.5 years ago.
Wow, okay.
And then I walked in some area where I live, and they were all playing, and I said, what is this? And that was my first day, and I've been playing pretty much every day since.
Okay, so like 2.5 years now.
Yeah.
So like right during COVID or right after
COVID. Yeah, right after COVID, yeah.
Okay.
Right, so, coming out.
Yeah, we saw a big boom there in COVID, and we can... Again, you do a lot of different things. We're going to get into kind of your story and also maybe a lot of questions about your journey with pickleball, how that translates and involves like business coaching or psychology and things like that. So thank you again for being here.
So happy to
really
be
appreciate
here.
You. So yeah, I guess why don't you give the viewers a little idea of like what you do and your background and how you got into pickleball originally.
So my background started with psychology. I was always interested in people, what makes us do what we do, what makes us not do what we don't want to do. And so how do we actually bring ourselves to do things that we want? And I've dealt with weight my whole life. I was very heavy as a child, like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I've tried everything, like everyone often tries, you know, but then you don't really resolve the holistic approach to weight. You do the food, or you do you'd get on a diet, but you can't be on a diet forever. And so I've done a good amount of adventures to get the weight down, and I would lose 20 pounds and, you know, but I would say, so I lost, I didn't actually lose 200 pounds playing pickleball, but I did lose maybe the last 50. But the maintaining has been amazing because I love playing. So I'm on the court just for joy. Like I was there yesterday at 6 a.m. because, as you know, it's starting to get hot.
Yeah.
And so if you'd known me, I would never have done that, you know, at the gym or for any other physical activity. And so as I was maintaining the weight loss, you know, as a lifestyle, really, discovering pickleball made me... It gave me a different relationship to my body, I think, is one way to talk about that. Like, I'd never moved toward, like, when you're that heavy, you're not very athletic, period. You're the last kid that people pick for the team, you know, and I don't even have a relationship with being, like, a competitive type of nature. Like, like when I play with my husband and it's like I have an opening, I could do it, and I'm like, I don't want to hit him. Like, you know, it's like I don't have... That is in my nature. So that's been interesting from a psychologist standpoint, is to discover I could be outside the court, this very adult, mature, intelligent, whatever you call it. And on the court, I'm like 7 years old. It's like I haven't grown, you know, my consciousness, my awareness of myself is not as an athlete at all. Like I know some of your story that you started when you were young, and it's like when you've pushed yourself, when you've known to, even if you don't want to do it, you do it anyway, even if I don't know any of this. And so it's like I'm a kid. It's like I'm starting, you know, 2 years ago when I started playing, I would walk out of the court and I'd be like, who is this? What was this? Like, why did I get so upset? Why did I feel left out? Why did I, why? And it was like a whole new me, you know, like a new me to have to address, which was cool.
Yeah, no, that's really amazing. Actually, I think a lot of people could relate with your story. Now, not directly in all aspects, but a lot of the clients and the people I teach didn't grow up playing sports.
Uh-huh.
And I would say it's like 50-50. Obviously, like, you know, there's players now that have racquetball experience or even basketball or whatever.
Tennis.
Yeah. But I do have a lot of players that I work with that were kind of didn't do athletics and stuff like that. So I think a lot of people could relate with that.
Do you think partly it's because it's easy at the beginning that for those of us, like if I play tennis, like I play for 3 minutes and I'm like, I'm dead, right?
Well, it's not even that. It's just the difficulty, like of playing tennis versus pickleball. You know, there's just the difficulty is high, and again, it's not going to be as fun and engaging. That's why the sport has grown
so much,
and you can obviously attest to that.
And would you say though that it is easy to start, but to play well, not so easy? Like it's as hard as the other. Wouldn't you say it's as hard as
so
the other ones?
It's kind of like the phrase, you know, easy to learn but hard to master.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. Again, a lot of players today think that they can jump in the pro scene even with their tennis background, and they can. They do have an upper hand, but it definitely takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
It's a master. But so how did you initially, so you started your kind of weight loss journey a little bit before pickleball?
A while before, yeah. Okay. I was already on it for maybe, but you know, when you have so much weight to lose, whatever's the next 20 is really what matters, right? Because you can't lose 200 pounds just by eating, you know, more salad. So it really has to be kind of a gradual thing. Mm-hmm. And then there are plateaus, so you don't lose anything for months when you're eating really well.
Yeah.
Keto was my, like, it really became my lifestyle for food. I really like that particular, I don't want to call it diet, but that style. But what pickleball did is it's almost like it came as the cherry on the cake a bit, because now the food was in place, the sleep was better, all of these things were starting to be in place, but the moving of my body, which even when I started, I was 40, 50 pounds heavier. That's a lot on the court.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine you running around with like a backpack full of, 50 pounds of rocks. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And as I'm losing more, that's striking how more confident I approach the ball, much more confidently, but also it's just lighter. It's just like you move, from my guy, is a marathon runner. They call him the rabbit on the court. Like he's everywhere at all time and he catches any ball, right? Uh-huh. Which when I play with him is not so good for me, because then I'm like, all right, he's going to get the ball. I'm good. Right. And then I play with other people and I'm like, dude, like that's your ball. It's like, no, that's not my ball at all.
Yeah.
But I'm used to him, grabbing it. So the weight loss was almost like celebrated on the court. I would say that became kind of the see what I can do, which I had never been able to do. And so there was very, like I said earlier, very young, very childish, very kind of like joyful energy. Like I giggle on the court. Like my friends that know him from business, I'm a pretty serious person, but you put me on the court and I get the ball that I thought I wasn't going to get. And I'm like, five, like laughing my head off.
It's
fun.
That's super awesome. Yeah. So you said last 50 pounds or so with pickleball. So up until like when you started your weight loss journey from the very beginning, up until then though, did you not play any sports or do any exercising, or was it all kind of diet stuff?
Like what I could do was skiing, like I could do gliding things.
Okay.
And so I skied and I did, I skied actually pretty well because you're not carrying your body, every other sport you kind of have to. I did ride horses when I was a kid, but that became a problem pretty quickly.
Yeah.
As in hurting the horse when you're that heavy a little bit. So no, I never, I grew up in an environment that's very intellectual.
Yeah.
Like sweating was a little bit of a, like go shower, we were thinkers. We were, and so.
And you said you grew up in Paris, right?
Yeah.
Is that, so I'd never been there. I don't know the culture there. Is that how it is? Or is that just kind of your family, that kind of thing?
Both. I would say really? There are definitely sports and people that are obsessed with sports as much as anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say in general, we don't have the jocks in school that are like celebrated like it's, in France.
Really?
No.
Interesting.
Not when I grew up. Maybe now more. when I grew up, you had to be smart. That was like the thing, wow. Right? And so at the school time, you know, when we were on recess, I'd be reading because that's what smart people do, you know? And mm-hmm. so after that, it becomes like a little bit of a, like you're heavy, so you don't want to move, and then you don't move, so you stay heavy. It's a little bit of a catch 22, you know? Like you can't, when I was at my heaviest, moving was not good for me. Like working out, like I would go to the gym, like, okay, I'm going to try this. And I would like hurt myself the second I would, you know, getting out of the couch when you're that heavy is a little bit of a sport, you know, because you have to carry. Now, funny enough, as I was losing the weight, I'm actually very strong because I've had to carry all of that weight, right? So my muscles are bizarrely, you know, strong for someone who, you know, never did anything athletic, because carrying so much weight is kind of an athletic, in some ways, activity. That was a big shift for me when I was talking to a friend who was a professional soccer player, who's also an executive coach, and we were having a chat about something else. And then I said something like, well, I'll never be an athlete, you know? And he was like, why? You're up at 6 a.m., you watch your caloric intake, you watch your water, you sleep, you do this, you study with a bunch of teachers to learn the sport. There's no difference. I mean, maybe some people are started younger or maybe they're more talented, but the mentality of an athlete, I never saw myself as that, but I am. Like, what's the difference, you know? Yeah. And I mean, I do. I would play 3-4 hours when I first started. I would play twice a day when I first started.
Wow.
Because I loved it. It was like almost like I discovered, it would be like someone who's blind.
Yeah.
And then you give them sight, you know, and then now they're like, oh my God, I want to see everything, right?
Okay. Yeah. No, that's amazing. So you kind of went from, you said you did a tiny bit of skiing, maybe some horseback riding, but you went from basically zero kind of
to
like
60 a little bit.
Competitive sports and things like that. And then you went right into pickleball.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us the story? Like, how did that start? What was the first time hitting? Like, because I know a lot of our viewers can relate to the first. I remember my first time playing.
Yeah, so. There really is a first time because it's like nothing else. Well, my husband and I had gone on this little trip, and on the way, I had spoken to needing to move more. And as I said, he's a marathon runner, and I was like, I'm not gonna at that. You know, I don't run. And so why don't we walk every morning? We go for a walk. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll do that with you. Cool. So then he goes on a trip without me and he comes back and I say, actually, I don't want to walk. I want to try this thing down the street. You know, we live in a environment where there's a court right there. And so actually 8-9 courts. And so we went down and we literally, it would be like walking in a swimming pool. You've never seen water. You know, we were just like, what is this? And there were two people playing. I'll never forget. Turned out they were the president of the member of the club.
So before that, though, like, how long did you live there and know those courts existed?
Not in the zero, like a week.
Oh, so you just moved in?
Yeah, we had just
moved in. Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay. We had just moved in. And literally, I could hear the sound. So I could tell that it was something that had to do with, like, you know, balls and paddles.
Yeah.
But that was it. Like, I literally, and then when I started, after that first day, I went on YouTube. I think I may have even seen videos from you. And I just was like, what is this? And where is it from? And I, you know, a lot of people speak like it's a sports for older people, right? Uh-huh. So I was like, I don't know if it's for me. Then, you know. But then we started. So we were playing with the president of the member, the club. And they were so nice. Oh my God, looking back, because we were literally like, phew, like we didn't know what we were doing. And they were just really calmly, because, you know, some people, I'm sure you've run into that, that start to play better. They're not very nice to those who are starting.
Yeah.
You know? So sometimes you have to overcome a little bit of that. But they were lovely. They couldn't have been lovelier. And they taught us, you know, as you know, scoring is like, it took me a month and a half to understand the whole scoring is so complicated.
No, that's probably one of the harder things
right?
to learn.
Exactly. Yeah. And so from there, you know, we started like everybody else. We bought paddles very cheap because we were like, oh, like $60 for two paddles or something.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, you hear the sound. It's a little like wood paddles, you know, almost. And then from there, we just started playing more and more. Mm. We became really good friends with the person who's the coach. And she teaches, you know, professionally up there. And
where is this again?
Wickenburg Ranch.
Wickenburg.
Yeah.
And that's what is it? Is it west of Phoenix or north?
It's north. It's north of Phoenix.
Okay.
Yeah, north of Phoenix, about 60 miles maybe.
Okay.
And it's a community, you know, it's like a, it's a planned kind of environment. There's like 900 houses maybe. And so it's kind of a, not exactly a retirement home, but it's like, you know, lifestyle. Most people are, you know, in their 50s and up.
How did you end up there?
That's such a good story.
Because you went from California in LA.
Yeah.
So in your kind of intro or blog or whatever, you said you kind of live in the middle of nowhere.
I do live in the middle of nowhere.
So why Wickenburg?
Well, originally LA in COVID was not fun. Like something happened in that town where just everything, every store closed. Yeah. I had lived there for 30 years. And one morning my guy woke up and said, "Why do we live in LA?" And I was like, at this point, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm here, you know, I've not thought of moving. And I said, where would you want to be? And we were both like, okay, I want the nice weather. I don't want to be in California. I want to be not too far from New York. You know, we had like 17 things on the list. And then the next morning we started driving, literally. Like we got in a car and I was like, Arizona sounds cool. I mean, the nice weather, let's try. Completely random.
Arizona.
Pretty much. I mean, the weather, not too far from, you know, if I could always come back to LA, not too far. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but then we found a house that we were considering for ourselves in Prescott.
Yeah, Prescott. Okay.
Which is really high in altitude, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I have a little of vertigo, altitude, whatever. Oh, okay. So we're driving and we're going to go visit this house. And at some point I'm like, oh, this is like, I'm nauseous. This is not good. And I'm like, are we almost there? And he goes, we're not even half.
Wow.
And I was like, nope, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And so pretty much we had the afternoon, we were going to visit that house. And I was like, well, what else is around? You know, so I went on whatever, Zillow, you know, whatever do to rent the place. And I found a place that had just an address. I didn't know it was a community. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
It was on the way back to LA. Mm-hmm. So off we go. And then we ask if we can visit this place. And they're like, yeah, sure. Just go through the gate. So we like, gates, okay. And then we drove through this thing and it's heaven. It is just heaven. It's so beautiful. And there is, you know, there's a pool in the community and there's the pickleball courts now that I would never move anywhere, but there was no pickleball.
Yeah.
Oh, I built one in my backyard, you know.
Yeah.
That's become such a thing. So
from
not knowing what it is, we went to the court that one time and we started playing every day the minute we moved.
And you didn't move then, right? Did you have to go back to LA and get all your stuff?
Pretty much a month.
Okay.
But it was, you know, when, I don't know if you believe in that, but when things are in their place, all of a sudden it's like, it's working out, right?
Yeah.
It lines up.
Well, yeah, we have a kind of a, not the same story, obviously, but we came from the Northern California. And we came here, so things lined up and it was good.
Yeah. There was a clarity about it. There was it was just a simple decision, you know?
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. So let's talk about, you're a psychologist mm-hmm. by trade.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with that currently? And I know that you do a lot of business coaching, and we can get into, I think you're the founder of Be Current, right? And we can get into that in a little bit. But what are the things that maybe parallels that you've learned on the court?
Yeah, so I studied to be a psychologist, and I got licensed as a psychologist, and then I did a few sessions as a psychologist, and I wanted to shoot myself in the head. That was not for me.
Oh, so you didn't like it?
No, I didn't. Okay. I mean, I like the people side of things.
Yeah.
But so the difference between psychology and coaching in my world, not coaching like you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that as a psychologist, you tend to go back to the past and where did it all start and what happened when you were a child and what did your mother do? I mean, it's shrinking it a little bit. But from my experience, I thought coaching, if something is not resolved from your past, it's going to play out in your current life, right? Like whatever you haven't worked on yourself, you're going to act it on the pickleball court in your business, in your relationship with your partner. It's like you carry it with you. So I was more interested in where do people are stuck, like where are they stuck now? Like they get fired from the same job the same way. They end up in relationships with people that don't treat them well the same way, you know? So to me, there was like a trend that happens in your life if you don't solve deeper beliefs about yourself. And so that's where it started for me. So I became a coach. I started companies. I was an entrepreneur. As you mentioned, I actually started a spa in LA that took on fire, the good kind of fire, not the bad kind of fire. Yeah. Like the Kardashians came to the spa.
Wow.
And all of a sudden I had 12 locations, six in New York. Wow. I mean, it grew like so fast. Like it resembles the growth of pickleball. All of a sudden it's like everyone wanted one in their city. And
what year was this?
We started the first one in 10 years ago.
So you started a spa and all these celebrities started coming?
LA, really? You know?
So then, okay. So then what happened?
What happened after that is COVID happened. And so we were growing. And then we were shut down because obviously for health reasons.
Yeah,
I had already brought in an investor that was more of an operator. So they were interested in taking it over basically. And I wanted to write a book and I wanted to do a documentary on food, you know, and relationships we have with our bodies. Because I thought I had really learned a lot along the way already.
Yeah.
And so I basically gave it, I mean, sold it, you know, we did the proper business, whatever. And then I moved on to,
to
do the next thing. So all along, there was all in my personality, there's something where I like trying new things. I'm not a very afraid person. Like I tend to, we'll see what happens a little bit, you know, which is nice. I think my parents did a good job at like letting us trust the world in that way, you know, so I've never, fear doesn't stop me really. So the next thing was starting Bikurren because it's basically Bikurren teaches people productivity, but it's related to your purpose. So people know how to do stuff, you know, they can check off, like check off, but then you have a life that's not really meaningful to you. And so I accompany people on a journey to discover what their purpose is as a human, you know, as a teacher, as a... whatever it is that makes us, there's a difference between a job and a, right? And a passion. We were talking about that before the interview.
Yeah.
And so I help executives that are usually burned out. You know, they've done the job they were asked to do. They make the money. They have the wife, the 2.5 kids, you know, whatever. Like they've done what they were told.
Yeah.
But then they're not happy. A lot of them, you know, don't find this fulfilling experience. And so I work with people that are often... burned out with a lot of hopes to do more with their lives. And so like I joke that I take them post burnout. Like once they're on the other side of it, it's a little bit harder.
So you work with a lot of like higher executives and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I work with people that are, I mean, I work with anyone that's interested in learning how to, I call it manage yourself. You know, like what does it mean to say, I want to do this? I want to write a book. I want to have a kid. I want to lose weight. I want to play pickleball, whatever it is. I want to start a business.
Yeah.
Like you did, you know, it's like there's where I am right now and there's where I want to be. I work in that space. Yeah. I work in the space of removing what gets in the way.
No, that's really cool. So I have definitely a couple of friends and even myself. I mean, I think we're all in different stages in life. Either you can be really content where you are. Some people are unhappy with their current situation. Even me, like from my previous job before I started coaching pickleball and taking this full time, it was providing, you know, for the family financially, which is important, things
which
like
is
that.
Good, of course.
Yeah. But how do you find out, you know, maybe your passions or like your kind of purpose, what you're talking about, like what are some things that, because there's a lot of people and players also,
your world is players,
but there's a lot of people, right? And we're all people, so but we're all trying to, you know, a lot of us are trying to figure it out, and that wasn't me that long ago, so like what's some advice that you can give someone like that?
You know, it depends where we start from. So someone may have already succeeded financially, but they're not fulfilled, you know, psychologically, let's say. And some other people, you know, they have all this energy and they want to eat the world. They don't know where to start. Other people, you know, they're trying to break into a completely new career, but they don't really have experience as a, I mean, running a business is not, oh, I just have an expertise in something.
Yeah.
You need more, right? And so I would describe what I do a little bit like at first I do an audit a little bit, probably like if you put me on the court, you and I would
like
exchange
assessment ball. Or something.
Assessment. Okay. Like, where are you? Like, what's working? What's not working?
Yeah.
What I find is when you are in your purpose, there is more joy. There's joy. Like it's 5 o'clock and you're like, oh my God, I started this morning. I haven't even eaten. Right. Like there is a sense of like time, you know, stops because you're so interested in what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that's a good start. surrounding yourself with the right people was a big thing for me along the way.
Okay.
Like good advisors, people that are not going to be your yes man, you know, like yeah. they're going to challenge you. They're going to push you. They're going to ask you the questions that a lot of people, you know, won't have the courage to ask. I mean, that's, I often play that role in people's lives. They hire me to, you know,
yeah.
tell it like it is. Like yeah. If I hire you on the court, it's the same thing. I want you to tell me, yeah. dude, like you're not at the, go to the net. Like, what are you doing? Right.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, hopefully caringly, but
yeah.
you know, we assess together what makes, in this case, what's a purposeful life. A purposeful life is you do what you love. You wake up in the morning. You don't wonder if it's Friday or Sunday because it makes no difference to you. You know,
yeah.
that becomes the true sign that you have a life you love, is you're not wondering what should I be doing. People that wonder what they should be doing, I would assess that often they're not doing yeah. what's really they're meant to do, maybe even.
Hmm. So for those of players and people out there, what are some things that you can say are recommendations? Because just like in my previous career or whatever, you know, we had to provide and we had to do things. How do you how can you work into doing something mm-hmm. that you love to do and make money?
Start making money, yeah.
Money at the same time. Because a lot of people, I think, are stuck there where they're
afraid
have to
make the leap.
They're afraid to make the leap, or they're in a job and they know that they could be doing something more fulfilling and better. But obviously, you can't just make the leap right away. So what are some suggestions? I don't know if you work with entrepreneurs or something that are in the beginning stages and that don't have a lot of resources. So
I do. You know, it's, I often say start anywhere. So I actually had a client years ago who wanted to sail around the world.
Yeah.
That was his thing, okay. right? Why yeah. not? So I started working with him and I very candidly said, so you sail, you know how to, no, I've never been on a boat. Oh, you've never been on a boat. All okay. right. All right. That's cool. So then I started asking all these questions and the guy had a vision, a dream, right?
Got it.
And he was, if you had spoken with him, you probably would agree with me. He was pretty far from actually doing it. Like in your scenario of like going to do, you know, yeah. your life.
Yeah.
I said, go to the library and read a book about sailing. Mm. Take out a friend for lunch that has already sold, you know, that does sail in the weekends.
Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
do you have a friend that has a boat that could take you out on a little ride? Whatever. Just do yeah. something. So like maybe someone that's in a career like you did, it sounds like you took the leap now.
Yeah.
But at first, yeah. you do more of this other thing, right? You do a little more. You mm-hmm. do a little more. And then you start making a little money.
Yeah.
Often, yeah. actually, it's a really good question you're asking. I find that people have a little belief that if you make money, then you shouldn't be having fun. Or you shouldn't be fulfilled. Or if you fulfill, mm-hmm. then it should be like a charity. Like it should be something where you yeah, make money. Yeah, you've yeah. seen that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I work with people in their mindset. I would say that's one of the parallels with pickleball. Is my inner conversation about the topic. Like when you walk on the court, you don't walk in like, oh, am I going to be, I don't know, do I know what I'm doing? This person looks like he plays better than me. I did that for like a year and a half. And I would get in my car and I would sob because I'm like this like super achieved human. Like what? Like what is this, yeah. right? And I could not, somehow my heart, it's almost like I had to catch up these years of learning how to be not competent. It's hard for people not to be competent.
Yeah.
Right? Like we used to like in school when you're not competent, mm-hmm. you're being sent to the whatever and you're being punished and you have bad grades and your parents are mad. You know, it's not a good thing. So to be willing in our 50s or 60s, you know, to say like, I'm gonna suck at this. That's okay. Yeah. You know, that is part of what happens to people. They have an expertise in a particular business and then they want to do this other thing that's a passion, but they're not yet at the same level, right? Yeah. So they have to, you know, address their ego that it's like, you know what? I'm going to not be so good for a minute there or a year or two, you know?
Yeah.
When you launch a business, it takes, people are like, oh, you know, they watch people online and
yeah.
my office and it's like the beach, right?
yeah.
It's like, oh, I want to yeah. make money while I sleep. I'm like, well, did you make money while you were awake? You know, that's kind of where it starts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, good. People on yeah. social media are, you know, it's giving out this fantasy land that I don't live in that land. I don't know if you do, but it's yeah. hard work. It's hard work to yeah. get places.
No, 100%. How long did it take to grow that biz, that spa that you sold?
Like, well, that one was kind of a little bit miraculous because, and I'll tell you, another element that you brought up without even knowing is I think doing it without the grip or the fear was really helpful. So at the time I was, you know, seeing people as a coach, and I had an office. And then I discovered this technology where you can lay down in this infrared beds and you can sweat, which at the time I was still super heavy. And it was like, you know what? That's kind of cool because I need to sweat. But for me to run like you run, I need to break a bone, right?
Yeah.
So what happened is I got this technology in my office, and every time I finished with a client, I would go do my sweat. Yeah. And then my friends were like, what is this thing? Your skin looks really good and you're losing weight. Like, what's going on? And I was like, well, I guess I could get another bed.
Wow.
So I get a second one.
Okay.
And then the friend wants to bring another friend. All right, I'll get a third one. All of a sudden, I have like six beds, and my girlfriends, you know, we all doing that every week.
So was that was the main, that wasn't the main thing of the business. It was just an add-on.
It was.
Oh, so it's an infrared kind of.
Which 10 years ago did not even exist. The bed that I developed did not even exist as you know it. It was my technology with a doctor that I developed.
Oh, so you made it.
Yes.
I mean, you developed it.
Infrared existed as a healing modality. Like it existed in many different ways. But the way, so in my particular circumstances, you could lay down, you could watch TV. So people were happy to come.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you've ever sat in a sauna for an hour. Yeah. It's like you want to, you know, you do it once a month and you're like, oh, that's so boring, right?
Yeah.
But this was like full on TV, and someone very sweet brings you a little towel for your face, you know. So people were just like, it was like the hour of heaven, right?
Yeah.
And so it grew basically between idea and opening the first spa. There was about my friend in France, I'm mocking me all the time, because in France, it would have taken 3 years, like no joke, like the permits and the licensing this and the that. In LA, I called the Department of Health, whoever was, you know, responsible for this. And they were like, well, we've never heard of this, but why don't you do it? And then we'll come check it out. And if there's a problem, we'll tell you.
Wow.
So I was like, all right, I guess green light. Like we were saying earlier, you know, when something is aligned, it just tends to go really well. So I opened one maybe 4 months in, and I was, you know, I had a background also in an ad agency, so I knew marketing pretty well. I had, you know, good knowledge of how to create a logo and how to, and I've also built houses a good amount. And so I have a good sense of design. So I created this space, which people wanted to come, you know, all of a sudden they were like, you know, three people on the schedule, and then there were 50 people on the schedule per day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So it was like it's like a per time kind of usage and you pay.
Yes.
Okay.
People became members. It was the beginning of memberships, you know, so you would be able to pay. I think the max was $400 a month, and you could come anytime you wanted. And then, you know, $200, you could come 10 times, you know, whatever. And so at first people thought it was really just for weight, because it was. I mean, you burn calories like not moving. That's kind of a breaking the code, right?
Yeah.
People were loving it. And your skin looked really, I mean, imagine in LA, lose weight while you watch TV and look younger, like that's like bam, bam, right?
Yeah.
So it hit many of the essentials. And then that's when the Kardashians came, you know, and honestly, celebrities, you know, it makes a big, and they were super kind. They really wanted to help. They felt great when they came.
Wow.
So the next thing I know is we're on an episode where Kim could not sweat because she announced she was, that's how she announced she was pregnant. So, I mean, people went crazy the next day. The episode aired on I want to say October 8th. The next morning, there was like 100 people at the door.
Oh,
like,
my
we saw that thing last night. We want to try.
Oh, my
God. All right. Come on in.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So are those still exist, those spas, or are they shut down?
We shut down in COVID. Yeah, they shut it down.
But they're permanently shut.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Is that still a profitable business like in LA? Is that, do people still have those salons or whatever you call them?
Spas, you know.
Or spas?
I think LA more than New York probably, you know, they people take care of themselves like it more.
Okay.
You know, I would say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's always one of those where if you have money, you know, you take care of yourself easier, you know.
Got
you have two jobs and you have three kids, and it's like it's harder. And so what I liked with my thing is it wasn't expensive. Like you could come and take, you know, a really good rest, you know, and you'd sleep better afterwards. And so people could do that for like $30. You know, there was no need to take the day off and spend $200, you know.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's really cool. Okay. So, going back to pickleball.
Yeah.
And you said something about you were very successful on a lot of different things.
Yes.
And you made money, you grew businesses and things like that.
Yes.
Then on the pickleball court, because you never had kind of that competitive thing, or you felt like small, or you felt like a new
incompetent.
Like a new challenge too.
Yeah.
How did you get over that? Because that was probably, and you're a psychologist by trade.
I know, you'd think that would have helped. Yes. And it really, at first it didn't. I was so hard on myself, and I would come out of the court and I would play with my friend who's 5-0, and I'd be like, when can I play like that? And she'd be like, I don't know, play for a minute, you know? Yeah. I was, my ego, it was a funny combination of my ego was overinflated, like I should be playing better by now. Yeah. My friends were all like, you've been playing like 3 weeks, like easy, you know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, this like, I'm never going to amount to any. I mean, I was literally a child. It's almost like all the work I've done as a psychologist were out the window. So I have a lot of, now that I'm on some other side, I'm not, I'm certainly not completely on the other side, but now that I'm on the other side, I have a lot of compassion for people, because you can see self mean, you know, people talk about themselves. Like you see someone miss a ball and they're like, it's the end of the world. I've learned a new thing recently. I'm sharing with you, because it's big, it's not a secret, but it's a big, it's called goldfish.
Okay.
So goldfish have no memories. They totally stupid, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you probably have heard it before, but I never had heard it. And so now every time I miss a ball, I'm like, goldfish! And I go back like nothing happened. It's like the first ball. And it really has brought a lot of joy to me. Like it's a simple thing.
Yeah.
The thing for me that was, actually for a minute, my husband and I looked at writing a book that was called Everything I Know About Life I Learned on the Pickleball Court.
Okay. Are you still thinking about that?
We might. Okay. We might. For now, we're writing articles and, you know, we're playing with it. But the partnership, the trust in yourself, the communication, the being able to reset, you know, and not, like we just were saying, like not drown because you missed the ball, you know, I mean, a few times I would be playing, and you know, sometimes you play against people that are just like, they just banging. That's all they want to do is just like hit you with the ball.
Yeah.
And my teacher is all about, you know, the net, the, you know, how do I not remember?
Drops.
The dinking.
Yeah.
Dinks, no, just the dinking and the, you know, slowing the ball down and all that. And then you'd play with someone who was just like, you know, they would get a lot of points, but it was all by, you know, smacking you in the face. And so I would literally like mid game, I'd be like, I can't stay here. I have to leave. Like, this is just to... And, you know, my friend or my husband be like, no, just like, just breathe. Like, just.
How was that for you? Because you didn't play a lot of sports, like with the with the bangers. Because, like, obviously, our listeners here, we get that a lot.
But yeah.
Were you scared of the ball? Was it.
Yes.
You know, like.
I felt attacked personally. Like, these people, like, if I played against my husband and he hits me with the ball, I'd be like, I'd cry as if my husband just hit me, like, not playing, you know, but he had literally, like, smacked me in the face, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're not, as a kid, I think that if you have a good coach, if you play in teams and people are accompanying you properly, you develop a habit to like, okay, I fell. Okay, get up. That's good. Fine. You know, you tried. I had none of that. So something would like literally, it's funny, my teacher and friend, Carrie, she often says that I need to bring the tiger out of me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I mean, now I kind of want to get points. And so obviously you need to attack the ball a little more, right? And so lately I've been like, and I do it. And then for 3 or 4 balls, I'm like, oh, like shaking almost, you know? Yeah. So it is, I mean, honestly, wherever you start, you have to accompany yourself in the process. Because if you don't, you become like this guy we have at the club. He doesn't say hello to anyone. He's so stressed about playing. Mm-hmm. He walks in, he doesn't say hello. He's like, da, 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 da. And then he doesn't like, you know, touch paddle at the end. He's like this. And I'm like, dude, like, we're not solving cancer here. Like, this is just fun. But I know what's happening inside of him, because I feel it. You know, it's like it hits your, it hits your human weak vulnerabilities.
Yeah. When it happens to yourself, I guess it's really, it's a lot different.
Yes.
So how did you get over the fear of like that kind of like bangers and balls coming at you really fast?
I mean, honestly, at first I stopped playing. I mean, I would just bring friends that I knew would play differently, or they were studying, you know, with different people that were a little bit softer at the, because it really was, it's still not super fun for me, frankly. But now it doesn't scare me. Now I'm just like, I'm as tiger as you are, and I'll come at it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So okay, I guess one of the last questions here.
Yeah.
Through pickleball, what are some of the parallels or lessons that you can pull out of what you've learned? Because like you've learned, I'm sure, a lot about it yourself, and you started your journey through weight loss and entrepreneurship and all that.
Yeah.
And then it's, you said you play almost every day now.
I do.
Right. So I that's, do. But how many hours, by the way?
I mean, with the weather now, a little less, maybe an hour and a half, you know, sometimes before more like 3.
Uh-huh.
So, it was, you know, it was a good amount. And we play, it's recreational, you know, so we play with different friends, and some friends that I've never played, and some, you know, so it's not, we're not at it like between, you know, okay. super good players necessarily.
Do you play tournaments and things like that?
Or? I did. So, okay, that's a good story. I did one tournament, well, two, and what is the worst
stressful?
Word I can use? It was horrible.
Oh, okay.
I hated it so much. It was really horrible.
Uh-huh.
I think at that point, the competitive nature is all that matters. Like everyone just wants to get point, right?
Yeah.
I actually lost a friend in my first tournament I was playing. Uh-huh. And I did something that she didn't like. She was opposite. You know, I was playing with my guy and she was playing with hers. And she stopped being my friend. And I was like, horrible. Because, I got the point. But, like, it's not worth it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
she was still mad after that?
She's been mad for, like, a year and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Okay. Mind you, I think she needs, you know, a little help because that's a little weird.
And all you did is win.
Well, yes. Actually, eventually she won that game because it was so sad for me that I saw how upset she was. And I was like,
oh my goodness,
that's not right. So,
okay.
So to bring your question around, for me, the partnership is one of the places where I learned the most, like how critical I can become and then try to bring that in and be more supportive. But that's kind of how I treat myself a little bit. So then I turn it into trying to be kind and self-love a little bit because I'm trying my best, you know, but it is like you have to, like I say, we have to manage ourselves, you know, and then you see kids that are like, right? Like they've never touched a paddle before and they're like, pow, pow, pow. Like they're totally getting it because there's no mess in their head. So to me, it's become partly I love it because of the game. Partly I love it because I get to confront my personality, you know, and it's a good thing to grow as a human and become aware of yourself. It's a good thing.
Yeah. So what are the two main things that you think or somebody maybe dealing with kind of what you dealt with in the beginning, the fear of playing or competing and things like that?
Keep playing, keep going, keep coming. I mean, maybe I'll do a tournament later again.
Yeah.
For now, it's too much stress. It's not fun for me. So I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, going, playing, finding friends that are really fun and supportive. To me, it's been a big thing. I mean, I have a very rich life. Like I do a lot of things. I travel. I do a lot. Like literally I'm going to Paris in July and I'm like searching everywhere. There's no pickleball courts in Paris. Pickleball hasn't started yet in France. And so I'm like desperately trying to like find a place. So now I found friends that have tennis courts. And so I'm going to like bring my tape and do my thing and teach them, you know, because I'm going to be there for like a month. You know? I don't want to not play for a month.
Yeah.
No, that's great. No.
Cool. Do you want to tell the viewers just kind of about what you, I don't know, about what you started a beaker in or just shout out whatever you do or what you have to offer?
I mean, honestly, if you've said my name and I'm sure in the show notes, you can have the website. There's the usual suspects. You know, I'm on Instagram. I'm everywhere, you know, doing my thing. So there's no particular place, you know, to go. Just the website, myname.com. So that's one way to go.
Okay.
Thank you. This was a fun conversation.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Do you have any last words or anything like that?
Well, if you're wondering if you should play pickleball, I say go do it. That would be my one push. Like a lot of people are still like, well, but I'm not very athletic. I'm like, I wasn't athletic at all. You know, just like give it a try because it's a little bit addictive, right? The sport is a little. And so I've gifted my friends paddles, you know, to try to get them to do it, you know. So just get on the court and have fun.
Oh, that's great. What level are you, by the way?
I would probably be a 3.5 at this point. So I'm a kiddo, you know.
Yeah, I think you should. I think playing tournaments at some point again would be a good challenge. Well, maybe to challenge
maybe
yourself.
I come to you and we work together.
Yeah, that could happen.
To get me prepared. That'd be fun.
Yeah. No, but Soph, I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And I think your story is great, obviously. I think it hopefully inspires a lot of people that are struggling on the inside or the outside.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly.
And
well said.
What can you, maybe one encouragement to those encouragement or word, or just, I don't know, about life or pickleball.
Yeah,
or
I liked what you were saying earlier for those that are struggling to make a leap, you know, to do something that makes them happier. Like money, my experience with money is it shows up. It shows up if you do the work, if you line up with the right people, if you apply yourself, money ends up lining up. So not be afraid to do it. Mm. And if you don't feel like doing it, then don't do it. But then be joyful in your, like, find a way to be joyful, you know, because life is, it's kind of all we got, right? It's like people don't see that what they do with their day is what they do with their week, with their month, with life. It's wow. life, right? Yeah. You pile up and you're 90 years old and you're like, what?
Yeah.
What did I do, right? So the advice would be do something that when we sit on a bench at 90 years old, you and I, you're like, I like what I did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, me too. No, right? Yeah. That'd be cool, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Super fun.
Okay. Thanks, Soph. Thank you. Thanks for watching this episode. Again, you can connect with Soph in the show notes. We'll leave it in the description and stuff. Thanks so much and we'll see you in the next one.